Welcome to the Missio Dei podcast. Missio Dei is a family of Jesus, joining God as he makes all things new in Chicago. Check us out online at missiodeichicago.com.
We're going to continue our journey through the book of Exodus, a book of liberation. And that's one thing that Melissa and Sam have mentioned every day, that this is about, Exodus is about liberation. Liberation, the theme, takes up a lot of scripture and is very significant in that way because it can both inspire, but it also is threatening. For example, it can inspire. I recently read a biography of Dr. Paul Farmer. He's a Harvard physician and an anthropologist. He spent his life bringing holistic medical care to the poor and to prisoners, specifically to the poorest section, the poorest region of Haiti, and even antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis in Russian prisons. He was very motivated and inspired by liberation theology. It mentions this in the book, Mountains Beyond Mountains. Liberation theology, because it really showed him God's heart toward the poor and was part of the underpinning of his work. On the other side, in 1807, in Britain, a Bible was published called the Slave Bible. In this Bible, they removed every reference, not just stories, but every reference to liberation. They erased God's heart of liberation in the slave Bible. And it was intended to be used among the enslaved peoples of the British Empire, specifically in the Caribbean. When they erased liberation from the real Bible, they removed about 90% of the Old Testament and about 50% of the New Testament. So liberation both inspires, but is also threatening to power. So today we're going to continue our study through chapter 18. Now, chapter 18 is kind of unusual because it's this little chapter and it's sandwiched between two really big things. First, the whole story of the Exodus has already occurred, okay? Moses has gone to Pharaoh, the plagues have happened, they're out of Egypt, they've crossed over the Red Sea, the Israelite people are camped in the wilderness. Then they have the battle with the Amalekites that Sam preached on last week. Then we have this little chapter that we're going to go over today. Then next, after this, is when Moses is on Mount Sinai. He hears from God, and God starts giving the Israelites the structure on how to live among each other and how to be God's people. So it's between these big Exodus events and them learning to be the people of God that we have Exodus 18. So I'm going to be reading through Exodus 18 in three sections. I'm going to pull out a main point for each one. And then after the sermon, Sam's going to lead us in a time of reflection based on those three points. So starting in 18 verse 1. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. And after Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Joseph Jethro took her back, along with her two sons. The name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a foreign land. And the name of the other, Eliezer, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Okay, a little Bible nerd moment here. When Moses names his second son, the God of my father was my help, that's a big deal. He's saying that God is a very big deal helper. That's not like, oh, God is my sidekick. No, it's God is my big deal helper. In the Hebrew, that's an Azer. E-Z-E-R is how it's transliterated. It's God is my Azer. That's actually the little Hebrew word used for the creation of Eve in Genesis. It's not that Eve is a sidekick helper. It's a really big deal Azer. Okay, I will continue back to Exodus 18, but that's like one of my very favorite pieces of Bible trivia. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came into the wilderness where Moses was encamped at the mountain of God. bringing Moses' sons and wife to him. He sent word to Moses, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and your two sons." Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he bowed down and kissed him. Each asked after the other's welfare, and they went into the tent. So after declaring war with the Amalekites from generation to generation in Genesis 17, Jethro then shows up in this area of the wilderness where the Israelites are encamped. Now, we haven't heard about Jethro in Scripture for a very long time. The very first time he appears is way on back in Exodus 2, before these big events are happening to bring them out of Egypt. Moses had just murdered an Egyptian for beating a Hebrew man. He had fled Egypt when that occurred. He ended up in Midian. He was at a well where some shepherds started to kind of harass several women with their father's flocks. Turns out those were Jethro's daughters and his flock. And when Moses rescues these daughters and the flock at the well, they invite him back, and he ends up living with the family and marrying one of the daughters, Zipporah. So in that situation, so we have two different situations about Moses thus far. Moses had rescued a Hebrew man from being beaten by an Egyptian, but when he rescued him, he fled. When he met Jethro's family, he rescues the daughter and the flock, but he's been given such generous hospitality by them that he stays with the family. But in both, we already see a theme of Moses being a rescuer and being put in these situations to handle them, to rescue people. Importantly, Jethro is from Midian. This indicates that he was also from a neighboring nation. As I mentioned, the area where Moses had fled after the episode with the Egyptian man and the Hebrew. So we also have to consider this in contrast to Genesis 17. Whereas in Genesis 17, the Israelites are at war with the Amalekites and would be from generation to generation. So there's a hostility there. And so at the end of Genesis 17, we feel this national hostility. We immediately go into Genesis 18 and we have another area, but instead of hostility, we have hospitality. Instead of hostility, we have wisdom coming from somebody with Midian. This helps us posture ourselves to not create Israel as the perfect hero in the story. It helps us posture ourselves that we don't other every nation that's in conflict or different than Israel. It's important that we don't other. And even in Scripture, it's setting us up not to other the different nations. So when Jethro comes to Moses, along with Zipporah and Moses' two sons, Zipporah had not been mentioned in very many chapters. Was she with Moses in Egypt? We don't know. When did Moses send her away, possibly for safety reasons? We don't actually know. But here is where she and her sons re-enter the story. But Exodus 18 focuses on the relationship between Moses and Jethro. What strikes me most in this first section of the chapter was that little phrase that they both looked after each other's welfare. When Jethro and Moses were reunited and they greeted one another, the first thing we are told was that not only did Moses bow down and kiss him, so cultural respect, but they looked after each other's welfare. This is more than a how are you. This is an eye contact, truly, really, how are you? It's tell me more. It's emotional safety. It's curiosity. It's also reciprocal. Moses had been through a lot in the time that he hadn't seen Jethro in a while, right? It would have been really reasonable for Moses to have taken up all the space. But Scripture tells us that they each look after each other's welfare. There's a beautiful sense of caring in that phrase for me. that no matter the distance or the time, they cared for one another. And everything else in this chapter between Moses and Jethro is underpinned by this care. It's the reason why Moses can probably listen to Jethro, and it's probably why Jethro can listen so well to Moses, because the foundation of their relationship is caring. So let's continue the story. Continuing on in Exodus 18. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardships that had beset them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Jethro rejoiced for all the good the Lord had done in Israel in delivering them from the Egyptians. Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because he delivered the people from the Egyptians when they dealt arrogantly with them." And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. So after Moses and Jethro went into the tent, Moses does exactly what Jethro invited him to do. "Tell me more." And he told him about all the events, all the drama, all the deliverance, the big moments, the scary moments, the fear, the being delivered, the when he wasn't sure how this was going to work out, and then how it did work out. He did tell him more, because there was caring and emotional safety and reciprocity. Jethro listened. And although he had already heard what happened, he listened to Moses' account, and he was compelled by that to say, "Now I know about the Lord." This helped him to know truly who the Lord was. Now, Jethro, in this moment, he nails it. He genuinely gets it. The reason why that's so significant, and the way I know that that was the point, is because God had already told us that that was his intention. Way back in the beginning of Exodus, in chapter 6 and 7, God told Moses that he was going to bring the Israelites out of Egypt so that they would know that he is their God. There was a point, so that they will know. He also told Moses why he was doing it for the Egyptians, that when the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt, that the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. God's intention for the Exodus story is that the Israelites, the Egyptians, Jethro, and us know that God is God. There's a sense that in the text, in the Exodus story, that part of this is so that we will know the Lord. Now, the next section is longer. We covered some of it, but we'll bring a point out of this one too. The next day, Moses sat as judge for the people, while the people stood around him from morning until evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit all alone while all the people stand around you from morning until evening?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make known to them the statutes and instructions of God." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You will surely wear yourself out, both you and these people with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give counsel, and God will be with you." At this point, we know that Jethro has heard the story. He has declared how he knows God now. He has worshiped with Moses and Aaron in the tent, bringing a sacrifice and worshiping the night before. And this is the next day. And Jethro surveys Moses' day. It's kind of like take your father-in-law to work day. And so he surveys, But what gets me is that Jethro, for all of his caring for Moses, when he viewed the situation that Moses was in, his perspective was wider than only Moses. Because what he saw was the position that Moses was in, that he was all alone and shouldering the burden and responsibility alone. But he also saw the experience of the people. And he cared for the people also. He cared that the people were standing around all day waiting for Moses. That couldn't have been a good experience for them either. So Jethro saw the big picture, but he saw the different perspectives involved. That's a real testament to Jethro, right? That takes a great leadership skill and wisdom already that we're seeing in the story for him to consider all these different perspectives. So he told Moses what to do, to find able-bodied individuals to help him judge. Now, he was looking for three things in what he considered a capable person. He was looking for men who fear God, are trustworthy, and they hate dishonest gain. Those were some of the hallmarks of integrity that he was looking for in order to tell Moses to create a system of organizing government, of looking at disputes. Now, these were disputes about one another. Let's review what we already know about the Israelite people in the wilderness. There's a pattern of behavior that we have already seen. They had grumbled about not having anything to eat, so God provided manna. They grumbled about being thirsty. God provided water. Now they're disputing among each other, and God is providing a system for their disputes to be heard. So when problems are happening, God is providing solutions. Different ways, but he is meeting their needs. So Jethro gives him the advice to create that system. But he had a reason for it, and I'll continue with Exodus 18. So it will be easier for you, meaning Moses, and they, the people, will bear the burden with you. If you do this and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people will be able to go to their home in peace. Although I love the solution and the efficiency of the leadership solution Jethro gave Moses, I think the beauty of it is the fact that Jethro saw the perspectives of both Moses and people and how it was negatively impacting them for Moses to be the only person to judge their disputes. Then I think what's beautiful is that Jethro had a goal, and it was so that Moses could endure and the people could experience peace. And the way to do that, his goal was, how are we going to have you bear the burden together? So by seeing the perspectives with a goal of bearing the responsibility together, that's when Jethro has the solution. But this bearing one another's burdens together, although we know that is a New Testament concept, it's an Old Testament concept too. That's what Jethro is trying to get them to do. From them to grow from a community where Moses is alone to a community that bears one another's burdens together. For them to grow in that direction. What will be the result? Your leaders will not be burnt out and they can endure. And you as the people can have your disputes heard, but you can experience more peace. The chapter wraps up in four really quick sentences. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he said. Moses chose able men from all Israel and appointed them as heads over the people, as officers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And they judged the people at all times. Hard cases they brought to Moses, but any minor case they decided themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went off to his own country. So Moses listened, loved it, implemented it, and said goodbye. So for all of his wisdom, right, and for that part of the chapter that we're given, this whole wrap-up is very quick. But I think that gives us a sense of how quickly Moses received Jethro's wisdom. He trusted it. Why would he trust Jethro's wisdom so quickly? Because their foundation of their relationship was caring. Because Jethro had shown and demonstrated that he cared not only for Moses and the people, that probably made it more likely that the people would receive his wisdom as well. Because his goal was loving and good, so that your leaders can endure, they can enjoy, they can do this well, and the people could experience peace. Excellent goals. So in Exodus 18, I see a picture of growth, not just efficiency. It is efficient. It is good that way. But it's them growing as a community. It's that they grew in both care and they showed care and trust. Jethro shows a growth in knowing God, but also the community itself grew because they bore each other's burdens so very well to everyone's benefit. So Sam is going to lead us in a time of reflection about caring, knowing, and bearing together. I'd like to close in prayer. Sam will come up. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your word, and thank you for speaking to us about liberation. Liberation is more than just freedom from oppression, Lord. We know that it's you removing all encumbrances to our flourishing, because you want us to fully flourish and to fully know the goodness of God. Thank you that that is your intention for us. And I ask that the Holy Spirit soften our hearts and spirits right now to be able to lean into the reflection. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Find a weekly gathering or gospel community in a neighborhood near you. To find out more, check us out online at missiodechicago.com.